So welcome to this week's episode of the Ultimate MMA Podcast. On the weekend, we were met with our final UFC card on Fight Island, a card with some serious highs and lows about it, and a card where we saw Robert Whittaker gain a fantastic victory over Darren Till. Today, we'll be recapping a fair few of the fights from the event, and then previewing this weekend's card, where Edmund Tavardian's prospect, the undefeated 22-year-old Edmund Shahbazyan, takes on a well-rounded veteran of the sport, who's running a two-fight win streak. He's none other than North Carolina's finest, Derek Brunson. I'm Jake Jones, and I'm excited to say that my co-host for this week is a new voice on the podcast. We announced it last week, but now it is finally here. We are joined by the former MTV DJ turned mixed martial artist. It's the one and only Sean Gilley. How are you doing, man?
Oh, that was an amazing introduction. I love that. I'm doing good, mate. How are you?
All good, thank you, mate. Keeping busy, enjoying doing this, and yeah. Sad to see Fight Island going, but overall, very well, my man.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad to see Fight Island go as well. It was what brought MMA back together, to be honest, after all this.
After the months we had, man, isn't it? It's amazing that we had kind of so many shows in the space of a month, and now hopefully we'll start to see things get back to normal. But also, just before we go into breaking down the card, if you head over to Ultimate MMA Extra, you'll find an exclusive one-on-one interview with our guy, Nathaniel the Prospect Wood, who spoke about his win over John Castaneda last weekend and what is next for the former Cage Warriors Bantamweight Champion. This is an interview that will also be released as a video-based format later on in the week. So, first and foremost, Sean, what did you think of last weekend's card?
Absolutely out of this world. It was unexplainable, the end Fight Island.
Yeah.
It was just a way to go. There's so many fights that you can just talk about and just be like non-stop.
Exactly, man. Well, I'm going to go straight in for it though. I was absolutely miserable after this event because, in fact, the whole weekend for sport was just one to forget for me. Bournemouth went down in the Premier League. The former Cage Warriors lads all had a tough time just overall. The main card went completely south. But having said that, you are right. It finished off Fight Island perfectly. It wasn't disappointing because people were being hard done by it. It was just that. What a way to end it all. As I said, we'll go straight into it. One of the biggest talking points of the weekend was Jai Herbert versus Francisco Trinaldo, and damn, was this a rough one. I was so, so shocked watching this, because first of all, Jai put on a great performance, and overall he looked really comfortable in there, and he was against a dangerous veteran in the sport. His striking looked clean, he looked smooth, he rocked Trinaldo a few times as well, but then, my God, did he get clipped badly. Ah, what did you think?
That was a bad knockout, and to get into the basic that what everyone's been talking about, fighter safety is always first priority.
Yeah, I totally agree, mate. I mean, so one thing I noticed earlier on in the fight was that Jai's head was being held quite high, and he was just avoiding being clipped. And even in the first round, I think Francisco actually caught him and nearly had him hurt bad. But then the punch that obviously Trinaldo landed just took everything out of Jai. I think it caught him so clean and hard on the temple, and that sent Jai down, and he fell down so hard. If you guys haven't seen it out there, it's one of them KOs where a guy literally gets hit, he goes stiff, and he falls down. It wasn't like his legs gave way, his entire body froze, and he fell backwards. And it was so tough to watch. I've spoken to Jai in the past, and I like him a lot, and that was just not nice to see. Don't get me wrong, you never want to see him lose, but it was the way it went down. Take nothing away from Trinaldo, he looked amazing in the fight, he got a win over one of the UK's biggest prospects, but the main issue was Jai was clearly out when he fell down, and there was no need to take any further shots, so I'm completely with Dan Hardy here, who was literally shouting and screaming at Herb Dean to cool things off. What did you think of the reaction?
Well, Herb Dean posted it, his opinion, what happened, mm-hmm. And he posted something about that you shouldn't shout out, stop the fight.
Yeah.
Because that is the third. Is it the third person who'd say is that to stop the fight?
Yeah. So what he was suggesting is that there's only two other people who should be able to say that. There's the first person who is the ring physician, and then the second person I believe was his corner is what Herb's saying. Yeah. So he's saying they're the only two people who should be able to shout that to stop the fight. And in my opinion, this was all just ridiculous because he ended up saying like it's what Dan Hardy was doing was dangerous to the fighter. And I thought, what's dangerous is letting him take the punches, mate. Come on.
More punches, yeah.
And also, I don't know if people actually noticed, but earlier on in the event, Herb Dean did this when Tanabosa fought Rafael Pessoa. So that was a fight earlier on in the night. Pessoa got clipped, and I think it was on eye injury, and he basically immediately retreated, and he backed away. Bosa came in and swarmed him, and Pessoa basically dropped to the cage and curled up. And he clearly didn't want anything there. So Herb let Pessoa take about 7 or 8 shots before actually stopping things. So once more to me, it was clear that he didn't want to be in there. And I know Herb's now tried to defend himself, and I'm not doubting that Herb's a good referee, but I hate the fact that he tried to go out there and then defend himself, because for me, I would actually appreciate it more if someone came out and said, yep, I made a mistake there, we live and we learn. Jason Herzog is a prime example of that. I can't remember which fight it was, but he did the same thing where someone took too many shots, and instantly he came back and he said, it was Anthony Smith, and instantly he came out and he said, no one else should be blamed for last night apart from myself, not his corner, myself. This was my problem, I should have seen it, and I will learn from this in the future. And the thing is, that's exactly how I think Herb should have dealt with this. When you see a guy go down like Jai did, and then let him take 4, 3, 4, maybe 5 shots, there's no way you wouldn't be getting up and shouting. I mean, Sean, you were saying that you were literally screaming at your TV as well.
Yeah, I was screaming at my TV. I was like, what are you doing? Even I seen Dan Hardy, I was like, it was just, it's a fight of safety, it is all with first.
Absolutely, man. That's it. I mean, either way as well, I feel that people are going in here saying that Hardy was being out of order, and that but for me, he's a UK MMA guy and a pioneer for the sport. So I get people are kind of suggesting there might be bias through the entire card, because there were times on the card where he seemed to be leaning towards the UK fighters, and I get that. But it's worth noting as well that he is heavily involved in the Cage Warriors promotion, and Jai was obviously the former champion there. So there may be some answers there as to why Dan was so furious about it, but that's only speculation. And for myself, I fully support Dan. One final thing to note, though, is I text Jai after things, and he seems absolutely fine. His coaches, and he released a statement about it, and it doesn't seem to have put him down in the dumps, or even that he's injured at all. So that's great news. Him and his wife, Jay, they had a child together early this year. So I'm glad that he's got home safe. He's enjoying his time with the baby. He will recoup, and there's no doubt to me that he will come back stronger.
Oh, stronger, definitely, 100%.
So now that big talking point is out of the way, it's done and dusted. Let's talk about another fight that was disappointing for the former Cage Warriors guys. Rhys McKee's debut against Khamzat Chimaev. Holy damn, what did you think?
Right, Rhys McKee did not get enough credit for coming in on 6 days' notice.
Mate, praise the Lord. It's very true, man.
That is 100% true.
Exactly, 6 days' notice against a guy like Khamzat Chimaev. And it's first and foremost, we have to say, he is an absolute beast. Yeah. I mean, I've bet against him twice now. I don't really know what I'm doing. I don't know why I do that. But he's so, so dominant. And he's already showing signs of a true champion. His grappling control just looks above anyone else at the moment. Yeah. And also, anyone that's now going to be fighting him are literally going to be studying his move to every fine inch, because it doesn't look like there's a way he can lose a fight. The only way I can see it happening is either being caught in a guillotine or a flash knockout or something like that. And as you said, props to Rhys McKee for taking that fight, because there's no doubt that Rhys is also a beast, and he will come back stronger and he'll make a statement. But this was just pure desolation. But as you said, 6 days' notice coming against a guy like him. I saw a stat which was something crazy, like Khamzat landed something like 192-2 strikes, against McKee and John. I mean, that is scary. I think what's next for Khamzat is I think he's going to get a veteran of the sport. People have spoken about someone like Diego Sanchez to test himself, and I think that's very good. But I also think very soon, maybe 2 fights down the line, I think he's going to be breaking into that top 15 and calling for some huge opponents to face. Think about it, if he gets one more win, he's 9-0 against a veteran of the sport, and then maybe 2 more there, you go 11-0. That's definitely top 15 level. What do you think?
If he gets Diego Sanchez, that'll be a war. I can just guarantee that.
Absolutely. Well, I think if Chimaev can get a hold of Sanchez, because Sanchez isn't the tallest guy either, then I think Sanchez is in trouble. But also, shouldn't doubt that Sanchez is a veteran of the sport and also has a crazy submission game. So if he can catch Chimaev out, then it'll be the end of the day for him. But as I said, overall, I think Chimaev's going to go undefeated for a long time.
It's like a Khabib, isn't he? He wants to take it down and he wants to slug you as quick as possible.
Well, I'm glad you made that comment, because one thing I do want to talk about is Chimaev calling out Conor McGregor, and I absolutely bloody hated this, mate. McGregor and Khabib's beef was actually entertaining, but a lot of the times, it went too far. So that fight was so personal and intriguing, because it was set up to kind of cause problems from the moment the fight was speculated. Yeah. However, Kazmat has 2 wins in the UFC at the moment, and yes, he's broken the UFC record in terms of coming back after 10 days, but there is no way he gets McGregor next, or even possibly even, I don't even know if he'll ever get Conor McGregor. I feel like he's trying to copy Khabib with the whole I'll smash you thing and calling McGregor a chicken. Now, I want fighters to be themselves and not to imitate or copy from the likes of the greats, 100%. Like McGregor and Khabib. You know, do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, we see too many fighters do it, and for me, it instantly makes me look at you in a different way. Like, don't get me wrong, he's a phenomenal fighter, and at the moment, I'd just love to see more of that. I don't want Twitter wars with people. I don't want this kind of copying
social
someone.
Media battle.
Yeah, we've seen Kevin Lee do it with Conor McGregor.
Keyboard warriors.
Yeah, exactly. And you just think, do you know what? Just, as I said, go in there and be yourself. Doesn't mean you can't have a character. Doesn't mean people can't be outspoken and be kind of bad-mouthing people. Yeah. But overall, as I said, I don't like someone who tries to copy, because you're then just taking off someone else. Be yourself and reach the top in that way.
Exactly. But the rumours were that he flew to, was it Ireland?
Yeah, he's claiming he flew to Ireland. I mean, I think this is hot when Conor and Khabib were going at each other anyway, but mate, whether that's true or not, and until I see proof of that, I don't know. Yeah. I think that's just trying to get into McGregor. But as I said, at the moment, McGregor is levels above him. I'm not saying in terms of talent, but just in terms of where he is in the sport.
Yeah.
Kazmat, you've got a long way to go, mate. Definitely. But 10 minutes into this podcast, and we are still now only moving on to our third fight. So let's rattle through Alexander Gustafsson versus Fabricio Werdum. And this was Gus's debut at heavyweight. And I have to say, I got this totally wrong, man. I predicted he would absolutely storm through the former champion and cement himself into such a great position. But Werdum changed everything. One thing that I majorly miss as well, and fair play to Werdum, was he came in that fight in such good shape. Yeah. I wasn't impressed in his loss to Alexei Oleichik, because I thought Werdum looked slow, fatigued, and generally past it. Now, he came into this looking so much trimmer and completely ready to go. And I know he had troubles in his last camp, but this was a great example of one camp that went horrendously versus one camp that went spick and span. I mean, he got hold of Alex early on and the fight was already over. Literally, Gus didn't have any time to kind of implement this game, and he just got caught in the armbar that finished the fight. And overall, I could only really give props to Werdum for such a class and clean performance that really shows he still has it. So what is next for these guys? I mean, for me, I think Werdum will keep pushing up the rankings, and I really don't know Alex's plan anymore. Maybe stay at heavyweight.
Oh, I don't know. I would think he should drop back down. Like, I didn't think he suited heavyweight.
Yeah, so I was looking forward to seeing Alex at heavyweight, because I thought he'd be very light on his feet. I thought he'd all around have a very good game. So my suggestion, I guess, would be stick for one more fight in heavyweight and face a striker who's in the top 15, because that would hopefully offer him a much better introduction to the heavyweight division. But as you said, it might also be a better option to move back down where he's comfortable and where we know he can do some bits. I mean, he's got an 18-5 record, I think, at light heavyweight. He is very, very good. But what me and Liam were discussing on last week's episode was that, do we think if Alex loses this, he's come out of retirement and got a loss, do we think he's just going to retire again, or, as you said, maybe drop down to light heavyweight?
It's a hard one. It's a hard one.
Well, we never want to make too many bold decisions, because recently when I've been making bold calls, they are not going my way. Well, finally, let's talk about our main event of the evening. Robert the Reaper Whittaker versus Darren the Gorilla Till. What did you think of this fight, man?
I was scared when Herb Dean who became the referee?
For the main event, I believe it was.
Main event, I was like, oh no, here we go.
That was your first.
That was my first instinct. I was like, no.
Mate, well, I think overall it was a great main event between two of the middleweight division's top guys. Like, it went all 5 rounds, which just showed how good these guys are at striking, and overall where the division is at in terms of the level of competition. It is insane. I must admit, I thought Till had the win when he knocked Whittaker down in the first round with that peach of an elbow. That was so, so clean. It was right on the button, and I thought that was it. But props to Whittaker. He recovered and proceeded to knock Till down in the next round, which was with this amazing overhand. And once more, Till was able to recover from that. But then from there on, Whittaker led the dance. Yeah. It was it wasn't a dominant performance as such.
It was like a chess match, wasn't it?
But exactly, yeah. It wasn't dominant. It wasn't domination, but Whittaker certainly had the win for me. I think I had it 48-47, which is how it ended. That was my scoring for it. And I think Whittaker showed why he's the former champion on Saturday night. So, I guess, what is next for these guys?
Well, Robert Whittaker says he's in for the title shot next.
Yep.
Well,
I would totally agree with you, mate. So, for me, Whittaker deserves his title shot. Whether that's Izzy or Costa, he deserves a shot. Yeah. He's 10 and 1 in his last 11 fights, and he never got his rematch for the belt. So regardless if it's testing himself against Izzy again or a new challenging Costa, I think he deserves that shot. Now, the only other thing I can see him getting is the loser of Izzy versus Costa and the winner getting Cannoneer. So I people are arguing that Cannoneer deserves a shot. I personally think that Whittaker deserves it over him, but we'll see. I think for Darren Till, I think Darren Till and Hermanson should fight each other next for the headline of a European event. That fight to me makes sense. They're both very different fighters in terms of their style. They've both got their last win over Kelvin Gastelum, and overall they're in a similar position in the rankings. I can also see Cannoneer potentially taking Till too, just for the level of competition it brings and how many people would watch it. Let's be honest, that's a money fight. Cannoneer might want the belt next, but if there's going to be some speculation on if he deserves it, then if he beat Till, there's no doubt. I know there's been reports coming out today that Till is going to likely face Anderson Silva, which I think is a very good fight for Till. I think it's a very bad fight as well if he gets knocked out. But a lot of people don't seem to be happy about this because it doesn't make sense. You've just fought the number one guy and now you're fighting a guy. I don't even know if Silva's in the rankings at the moment. Yes, he's a legend of the sport, but I think this is that fight to kind of set Till up again to maybe then go for another push for the title. And as I said, I would prefer to see him face someone like Hermanson or Cannoneer.
I tell you who I would love Till to face.
Who's that?
Mike Perry.
Somewhere, mate. That fight.
Yeah, that will happen.
Oh, mate, that fight has to happen. I think that would be an absolutely brilliant fight.
That would be amazing.
I'm glad you pulled up on that as well, because I've said this for a while. People like Mike Perry, Nico Price, these guys who don't always get the win, they kind of maybe have gone 4-4 in the UFC. The UFC need them guys though, because they bring the most entertaining fights and the best fight, and no matter what, you will watch them. Like, they bring everything.
Well, I
know that Mike's having a bit of problems in his personal life at the moment, so we'll have to see where that goes. I don't think it's for us to speculate on what is actually happening there, but I know that Mike and Darren have had their Twitter wars in the past, where, but it's also been good banter. It seems like they don't like each other, but also it's the entertaining factor to it as well. It's not about genuine hate like Khabib and Conor had. This is more a bit of who's got the biggest bollocks here.
Yeah, it was about all right to start off with. They were like, could I go for a spa day and stuff like that?
Yeah, exactly. And now look where that's got them. So also, just before we move on to our preview of next weekend's card, I'd love to talk a little bit about two Bellator MMA bantamweight fights that went down on the weekend. Sergio Pettis defeated Ricky Bandeas, and Rofion Stotts handed Cass Bell his first defeat. So you guys need to get into the Bellator bantamweight scene. It's seriously stacked full of talent and has so many entertaining fighters that offer brilliant fights. In the UK and Ireland, I think they have lads like Cal Eleanor, James Gallagher, Franz Malambo, Brian Moore. In America, they have Sergio Pettis, Rofion Stotts, Ricky Bandeas, Cass Bell, Dominic Mazzotta. And then they have also Canadian stars like Josh Hill, Brazilian stars as well, like Leandro Higo and Eduardo Dantas. It's honestly, it's looking so good at the moment. And although the UFC bantamweight division is also looking stacked, people should look to Bellator as well, because there are some phenomenal fighters on there, and we want to make sure we're covering every area. So Stotts went 14-1 after beating the 5-0 Cass Bell, and he truly dominated over three rounds. He trains out of Rufus Sports with the like of the Pettis brothers, Ben Askren, Tyrone Woodley, and honestly, I think he's going to be a big problem. And additionally, Pettis got the win over Ricky Bandeas. Ricky's a phenomenal fighter who delivers crazy KOs, but that victory for Pettis will likely lead him to the title. Juan Archuleta and Patchy Mix now have to fight it out for the belt, but it's likely that Sergio will be getting the winner of that bout. And honestly, as I said, it's looking so stacked at the moment. It's stacked full of guys who either have no defeats or records like 15-1. And as I said, people should check it out. Juan Archuleta, is 22-2, I think, and Patchy Mix 13-0. That's, I mean, these aren't just guys who are making a mockery or like these kind of veteran fighters. These are people who are seriously good at this current moment, and as I think they'd give some of the UFC fighters a hard fight too. So I would like some of our listeners as well shift over to Bellator sometimes, and I think their cards are on a Friday night as well, so they should definitely check them out. But that is our recap of last weekend's event complete. Now we will move on to our preview of Saturday night's UFC card, August 1st, where Edmund Shahbazyan and Derek Brunson have stepped up for the for the main event spot. What do you think of that, man?
Shahbazi is Ronda Rousey's former training partner, wasn't it?
He is indeed, yeah. At 15 years old, he's training.
15 years old, yeah. That's crazy.
Mental, isn't it? I mean, the first thing to note there was that this fight actually came across because Holly Holm and Irene Aldana were due to headline this card, which was likely the number one contender spot. However, I think it was Aldana who pulled out due to injury, so now Edmund and Derek have been promoted to the main event.
Great fight.
Yeah, before we break that down, though, let's talk a little bit about the co-main event, where Joanne Calderwood, Jojo. Is facing Jennifer Meyer. So, is this who is next in line for Valentina Shevchenko?
I think Joanna should have got the title shot before this fight.
Yeah, I think I could agree with you that I think this will potentially be the next fight for
100%.
For Shev, because I think Calvillo could get the shot, but I also think maybe Calvillo gets Shukagian, and then the winner of that gets Shevchenko after the fight with Calderwood. Because for me, I think Valentina fought Shukagian before, so very recently. So if Shukagian beats Calvillo, which he very much could, then I think that's a fight we've seen before, and I'm not sure people want the second fight just yet. Now, the winner of this weekend's bout between Jojo and Maya will have never fought Shevchenko, and that makes for a slightly more exciting fight and gives Shevchenko a new challenge. But I guess you could argue as well that Shukagian's beatdown of Valentina's sister makes for a new interesting narrative. But still, we have to see how this weekend goes, because as I said, for me, if these guys haven't fought Shevchenko before, I think that makes for quite an interesting development in there. People are asking who is next for Shevchenko, who can challenge her. Well, these guys haven't fought her, so we can only find out by actually having that matchup made. Yeah. I think Maya is going to have a really hard time here closing distance with someone like Jojo.
100%.
Yeah, we saw against someone like Shukagian, Maya struggles with someone who has that amazing technical striking ability. For me, I would love to see Calderwood pick up the win and get the title shot, because then we get the chance for the second UK UFC champion, and I genuinely think she's such a great representative for it. Whether she can outstrike Shevchenko, I don't know. But overall, I would love to see Calderwood get the shot, because for a while, I think this is long, long overdue.
She deserves it, yeah.
Yeah.
100%, she deserves it.
Well, and don't get me wrong, we can't underestimate Maya here.
No.
But I think Calderwood offers a better fight for Shevchenko and is overall deserving of a shot. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. She definitely deserves the title shot. I think Maya's opponent got an injury. Is that right? I'm not sure.
The initial opponent.
Yeah,
I believe so. I can look that up in a second, but yeah, I believe Joe is stepping in for this. But as you said, you were saying earlier that she should have held out for the shot. I think the only issue with that is someone like Calvillo coming into the division, and in Calvillo's first fight, she got put up to the second in the ranking, I think. So I think maybe if Calvillo hadn't got the win over Jessica Rai, then maybe Jojo was thinking, ha, the next shot's mine. Now that that's in there, maybe Joe needs to take this fight to go, yeah, I'm definitely next in line.
Yeah, 100%. She's no question about it.
Well, let's finally talk about Shahbazyan versus Brunson. And I love this bout, and what a chance to make your main event debut for the 22-year-old Edmund Shahbazyan. How do you see the fight playing out, mate?
Shahbazyan. Derek's got knockout power. Don't get us wrong. If he catches him, then that's it. But I think Shahbazyan's going to take it.
Yeah, so for me, I'm going to go bold here. I've said this earlier on that whenever I'm going bold statements, I'm not doing well. However, I've made comparisons in the past between Shahbazyan and Adesanya because how patient they are with their striking and how crisp they are. Honestly, I think Shabazzian knocks Brunson out in the first or second round with a fantastic striking performance. So, I said this last week, but watch how Adesanya finished Brunson and how Shabazzian finished Tavares. It is so reminiscent of each other. Both of them dropped their opponent early, but then they did not rush in. They picked their shots and landed when they needed to get the finish. Now, they didn't swarm their opponents with shots, but they backed them up to the cage and they picked their shots wisely. I mean, both finishes are so mature and so brilliant that's what I see happening on Saturday night. Genuinely, I said, before you watch Shabazzian versus Brunson, go back, watch Adesanya versus Brunson and Shabazzian versus Tavares. Look at how they finish, and honestly, I think it's going to be...
It's going to be a war.
Yeah.
A slugger.
I do think, though, Brunson is very good, and he could win this by going in there and slowing things down, dictating the pace, and then testing Edmund's wrestling ability, as you just said. Yeah. Grind it out over three rounds, because this was a late notice fight as well, that's why it's a three-round fight. So he can grind it out over three rounds and get the unanimous decision victory. Once more, Edmund threatens with submissions, and he's a tall and lanky frame, which allows him to catch people in unorthodox guillotines and chokes that may catch Derek too. But as I said, I genuinely think the prime key to victory for Brunson is that he needs to ride this out and get the judges to decide. Edmund has only been to the decision once in his career, against Darren Stewart, where he won by split decision. Besides that, though, he's finished everyone in the first round of their fights. And when you boast a record of 11-0 at 22 years old, that is scarily impressive. Every single knockout was in the first round or submission. So it's also really worth noting that Brunson has been finished by KO or TKO 5 times in his career, and 4 of those were in the first round. So he's a bit slower to get into the fight. When you're coming up against Shabazzian, who finishes people in the third round, that doesn't bode well for you. Having said this, out of the 8 fights that Brunson has gone to a decision, he's won 6 of those. So he tends to get the judges on his side, and he puts in a performance where fighters are chasing him and he's leading the dance. So I think this is what we're going to see, is either Shabazzian go in there and just starch him, knock him out in the first round and really cement himself into that division. But equally, if Brunson goes in there and slows things down, wrestles him out over 3 rounds, Shabazzian got such a tight split decision victory over Darren Stewart, I'm not sure if he can do that over Brunson. Mm-hmm. Overall, though, I cannot wait for this fight, and I think regardless of the result, it's interesting. Edmund may go 12-0 and push his way high into the middleweight picture, but Brunson will hand a young prospect his first defeat and prove why he's still in the picture at 185 pounds.
Yeah, that's going to be an amazing fight. I can't wait for that fight. It's going to be, I don't know, it's like I said, it'll go 2 ways. It'll be a slugger where they'll just bang it out, or it'll be a wrestling game.
Yeah, and we've got to see how good Shabazzian is at 22 years old.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Exactly, that's what I mean. 22 years old, man. We'll have to see that. If it is a slugfest, then I think Shabazzian will get the win. But obviously, if it does go to a wrestling game, Shabazzian is only 22. So Brunson may have a big advantage there, and he may be able to kind of hand him his first defeat. It might not be a dramatic like KO loss, but it might just be one of the ones that brings him down a bit and makes him, as I said, have to rethink his game a bit. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So our final thing to discuss before we close the show is fight announcements. And I'm sure you all know now, but Justin Gaethje and Khabib Nurmagomedov are set to battle it out and unify the UFC lightweight title on October the 24th at UFC 254. What do you think of that?
I've got loads of mixed feelings about this fight. Mm-hmm. It's not just this fight. It's just Khabib's posting about Gaethje, then GSP.
Yep.
And I'm like... GSP might be a struggle for Khabib. I reckon Gaethje's striking is unbelievable. Yep. Don't get us wrong with that. But when Khabib does what Khabib does and takes it down and smothers you, is Gaethje's wrestling going to be enough to get back up on his feet and strike again?
Well, who knows with that exactly. I know Gaethje's gone out and said something like, I only need to hit him with 8 leg kicks and he's done. The thing is, he might be right there. I don't think he is, but he might be right. He might be able to catch him and slow him down. But the way Khabib fights is just so good, and although we will, when it gets to that date, we'll break this down as well, but Khabib does this incredible thing. When he gets you up against the cage, he wraps both your legs underneath him.
Yeah.
And watch when he did this against McGregor. Literally, you see every time McGregor is able to spread his legs a bit, Khabib wraps his leg around him again and just ties him up. So I think that's going to be the issue, is Gaethje's meant to be a phenomenal wrestler, but have we seen that in the past? We haven't. We've seen Gaethje KO everyone.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be a very interesting bout. But also, we have Miocic versus Cormier, the third fight between these two. Adesanya versus Costa, and then obviously Khabib versus Gaethje. What a few months of fighting we have ahead of us. I think for me, what fight interests me the most has to be Izzy versus Costa, because either way, someone's O has to go. Exactly. And in general, these two striking prowess is just incredible. Miocic Cormier was so good last time around, but I think whatever happens in that fight, it has a sad end. Yeah. So if Miocic wins, DC likely retires. And if Cormier wins, it switches the table again, and even if then he retires with the belt, we kind of start again. Then we have to have an interim fight in there. And as I said, for me, I just...
Why is everyone retiring?
Exactly. So it's got to end at some point. But overall, that's why that fight, although I really want to see it, that's why it disappoints, because I think either way we get a bit of a sad ending, an emotionally sad ending. And then also, I think Khabib versus Gaethje offers the most risk for what type of fight it will be. Because imagine, Justin goes in there and KOs Khabib. He ends the 28-0 win streak. We will all be going mental.
Wow.
Like, MMA fans, let alone UFC fans, MMA fans will be sent into rapture. However, Khabib may also come in there and do what he does best and just maul him over five rounds, which wouldn't come as a surprise, would it?
No, not really. No.
Exactly. So that's why that fight offers two major ends on how it could be taken, because, as I said, that's why it's a risk. It's not a risk for any of the fighters. It's a risk on the result that's going to happen. It might just be the typical fight we see, and as I said, Khabib goes 29-0, and then, as I said, calls someone like GSP. But also, as I said, if he gets KO'd early, oh my god, the world goes crazy.
The world
goes
crazy, yeah.
So to me, that is why Costa versus Izzy is the best matchup, because either way, someone loses their O, and the middleweight division basically continues to impress. The others have a big kind of negative impact to them as well.
Yeah.
Either way, it is safe to say that I cannot wait.
God, I'm in shock. I'm crazy for these unbelievable fights just happening over the next few months.
Mate, cannot wait for it. So that is all we have time for on this week's Ultimate MMA podcast. So thank you all for tuning in. Make sure to like, share, subscribe and listen to us. And be sure to tune in next week. We'll recap the weekend's results, and then we'll preview the next card, which takes place on the 8th of August. I want to thank our brand new co-host Sean Gilly for joining us this week. How did you find it, mate?
That was amazing. That's actually the first time I've ever done a podcast as well.
Mate, you did a smashing job as well. I said, mate, it's such a pleasure to have you. And we look forward to having you on next week around. Or if it's not next week, the week after, whenever, we definitely want you back.
100%. I love
that. Anyone out there as well, thank you for tuning in, and we will see you next week. Cheers, Sean.
Thank you. Cheers, mate.